speak with the county executive this morning, and she extends her her hello to everyone and thanks everybody for being here. At this time, we'd open up the floor to any public comments. If anyone wanted to make public comments, they can do so. Anyone online that chooses to speak?
Nobody
online yet. Okay. And one more time for public comments. Thank you. We'll close that. And we'll move on to approval of the previous minutes, meeting minutes. We have minutes from two prior meetings that you should have received in your email packet.
I'd make a motion to approve the August and the September meeting minutes.
There's a second. A second by Randy. Thank you. Is there any further motion and a second to approve the minutes as presented? Is there any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed. Carried. Thank you. Item number four is going to be a status report on previous committee recommendations that both the ones that we approved, and then there will be leading into that is discussion on possible modifications to some of those projects. So I guess I'll turn it over to Joe or Ben or whoever wants to start that.
I believe that's IT, right? I think we're ready to go. Hold on just one moment, actually. I think Janae's report actually probably more specifically pertains to item five.
Yeah, this is generally an update of status of those things that we recommended and have been acted on.
So really, those are kind of one and the same with these two items today. The major update is Janae's report. I have no further update on item four.
Okay, that's fine then. I want to kind of put it in as a placeholder. Yep. Very good. Well, then we're moving along efficiently here. We'll move to number five, and which will be the discussion and possible action on a recommendation from the county executive's office with regards to using additional ARPA funds on the county parks Wi-Fi access and projects and based on the final project designs. So the following the recommendation of the committee to the administration, they did put those projects out for final design bids and got information back, and which led them to suggest some modifications. So if you take that, please.
Can everyone hear me okay?
Great.
All right, so get started with PowerPoint. Throw that in presentation mode, Joe. I think everyone's got a copy as well. Kind of while Joe's working on that, I'll give you kind of a status of where we're at. We have been working meticulously with the business team to determine what our needs were and then where to best place our money. You know, last time I spoke, we talked about building that infrastructure, that foundation that's needed in order to build out the capability of providing internet access to both our visitors and our vendors. We want to be able to expand that as much as possible where we have our ability for high impact, high density areas. So that really was the driving point to a lot of our decisions. We took a first look at it.
Element because the development of that plan is already ongoing, and this group will need to convene and meet.
Excuse me, Clement, you're not muted.
So how much?
I think we're good now. Sorry about that.
I'm going to move to the first slide, Joe. So as a reminder, our goals were to be able to deliver broadband internet access to our vendors and to our visitors. with the idea that this will augment a lot of capabilities in the future, being able to provide point of sale systems, communication systems to our visitors, to expand out our communications to our leaders. Go ahead, Joe. One of the terms that you're going to hear a lot is LPRs and context cameras. So I want to give you a visual of what this delivers and why it's so important for our business teams. With the infrastructure that we're installing into each of our parks, there's a high demand for vandalism, theft, and one of the things that's important to our business team is being able to secure all of that. So in this example here, you have two types of cameras. In the left-hand picture, you see an example of a context camera. It's a broad picture that gives you a snapshot of what's coming in and out of a facility. Whereas in the second example, that is what we call an LPR or a license plate recognition camera. This allows us the capability of obtaining a license plate number, storing that license plate number for future reference. So if we find a particular make and model, and then we are able to match that with a license plate, we're able to follow up if we feel that that may have disrupted our grounds in some way. Go ahead, Joe. This is a night vision example of what it provides. As you can see from the naked eye, you really can't see the license plate number, but with the LPR system, you're still able to capture that license plate number. So our first park that we want to start talking about is the Kemper and Anderson Center. Our original scope of this project were areas 1, 2, 3, and 4. Two and four are the Anderson the Kemper Center, the northeast grassy field of Kemper, and the westerly area of Kemper as well. And 3 and 1 are the north side of Anderson Arts Center and the south side. So just want to kind of give you a visual reference so that you understand what we're doing and how we're solving for these areas. I know this is a little bit difficult, so you might want to check your PowerPoint, your hard copy. But as you can see, the white was all of the original scope. These were all items that we originally identified as being necessary. When we went through our second round of discussions with our business team, the orange was something that we found was a higher priority that evolved the scope of work a bit more. Refined it, fine-tuned it. So in the top section, we've taken the scope from 4 areas down to 3 due to limited visibility and the limited need for – it doesn't meet that high-density, high-impact area. Well, there's people there. It's not the number of people that you would typically find in, say, areas 2 and – 1 of the Anderson Arts Center. Additionally, we reevaluated the type of what we call access points or APs to better improve the technical aspect of our hardware. So we can deliver broadband. Broadband already exists at Kemper and Anderson, but what we want to do is expand on that and deliver as much Wi-Fi capabilities, internet accessibility as possible. And in order to do that, we wanted to amp up our abilities to deliver that through improved hardware. We really had a discussion on orange and whether it was the best use of color. From my vantage point, it's not very good. outdoor security. Okay, so moving down to the third section, installing a limited number of outdoor security cameras. Again, we base that off of high impact, high density areas, areas where we didn't quite have visibility all of the time. So we're trying to reduce down that level of vandalism and then also be able to follow up with, hey, you know, these are the people that we feel did this, and be able to have that camera footage to be able to follow that up. Let's go ahead and move to the next slide. So as you can see, and I may lean this over to Angie as the technical subject matter expert, but what we've done here is to provide you the areas of coverage that we're trying to focus on and what we're providing in each area. So specifically on the left-hand side, you'll see that this is Kemper. In the upper right-hand corner, there's two green arrow boxes with a yellow triangle. These are your cameras pointing over the north grassy area and the southerly south parking lot areas. This was identified by Ed Kubicki as being a priority for having that overarching view of Kemper. And then, of course, the yellow triangle is the Wi-Fi access. So that will allow our visitors to be able to have that internet access. The round circle is an estimate. It's a best guess. We're really just kind of throwing it on there so you can kind of see that area in which the Wi-Fi will be available. We can cover a lot, but we can't cover everything. So on the south side of Kemper, in that green little half moon, you'll see that we have a blue arrow to the left. That is an LPR. So we're looking to be able to capture that information for those that are coming in and out. We have two Wi-Fi access points and a point-to-point. This is... The point-to-point is to be able to deliver internet across the field without the need for power. Good. Okay. So, yeah, no, go right ahead, sir.
Can you back up? My question goes to, we have walk-in access off the western edge, but I don't see any context cameras or anything along that side. So safety security of facilities was your first statement. But did we consider that? Because I don't see it in here.
Yes, that's a great question. We did consider that. We considered that because of the high impact, high density area. While we have visitors coming from the west side, a lot of times those are pictures. A lot of times that's people that are just, you know, checking out the grounds. It's not our area where people congregate and have events. We tried to stay with that high impact, high density area as our priority. Because of the cost of those things as well, we really had to figure out where the best use of our money would go. Trees were also a factor as well. There's a lot of trees on that westerly side that can did impact our ability to deliver a clear view throughout that side of the facility. And I am going to lean it over to Matt because he really was a huge decision maker on this.
Okay, let me extend the question one step further then. Do we have other safety features in place for B&E or vandalism, things like that, to protect those blind areas?
So to directly answer your question, Supervisor Bashaw, what we've physically seen as far as amount of vandalism and jackassery of Kemper Center has been more on the eastern portion of Kemper Center, where kids like to climb wherever possible within off of the courtyard area closer to Ambrose. So we've identified through either police reports or witness statements from Kemper Inc. staff that this phase of our project, as we don't have an infinite budget, we wanted to exclusively go where we know those problems are. Recently, we had vehicles doing donuts in the parking lot. So we wanted to capture the parking lot, the Ambrose area, and more of the eastern side. But building out the infrastructure of the broadband with this project will allow for future cameras in other areas. So I do see in the future for us to be able to expand that. But the priority area was where we know we have issues right now with those cameras.
Thank you, Matt.
Thanks, Matt. So on the right side, you see Anderson Art Center. Again, we have a point-to-point with the red arrow pointing northerly. That is, again, to make that connection between Kemper and Anderson Art Center. We have two APs as well in the yellow triangles, both on the north side and the south side. The south side captures in the blue circle. And then we have an additional AP next to the transformer substation. We're going to put a pole up and put a sector antenna there. So then that'll expand out our Wi-Fi capabilities as well. Yes, sir.
Excuse me. Hi. Jack Musha, District Administrator, Bristol School District. Just a quick question in regards to the camera. Have you guys decided on a vendor for the camera system? And who is that in just like the service agreement, maintenance, and storage and those kind of things? If you're going to get there, I hate to skip ahead, but just had that quick question.
Sure. So we're going to go with Verkada as our solution for just for the LPRs. We're already heavily invested with Panasonic cameras for our context cameras.
And that and their storage system and maintenance and all that through Verkada as well. I'm just asked because we're going through the same thing with the school system, and we've had very good luck with Verkada. So I just was wondering as to where you guys were with that contact and the storage and maintenance portion of it as well.
Okay. So right now we're looking at a 10-year contract with Verkada. It's cloud-based solutions. All the storage is there. And really that's all we're using it for is for solely for LPR. So we're not utilizing any sort of, you know, facial recognition, anything like that. So the storage will be minimal.
Thank you.
Yep.
And I'm sure for future reference, Angie is available if you want more questions answered. Go ahead, Joe. Okay, so again, this is just a side-by-side map of what we were planning to do and what we actually are doing. So just wanted to be able to really give you a definition of what that looks like. Go ahead, Joe. And of course, we're meeting both of the original scope needs. So our next park is Old Settlers. This one experienced the biggest change, mostly because we were really, again, focused on cost. Joe, can you hit the next slide, please? Oh, okay. So this was our original scope. Our biggest change in the scope, go ahead and change. Our biggest change is we are removing the dog park and the easterly beach area. While this is one of those items that was important to us, by the time we put all the numbers together, it was the easiest one where we could look at the scope and say, future use. Let's build it for future enhancement, but we can't do it at this time. So our main focus, go ahead to the next one, is to focus on the west, south, and east areas of the pavilion and the band area. Go ahead. So here on the left-hand side, you'll see the two access points. The brown box is a data switch. It's basically where our broadband is coming into. So we're boring a hole. We're splicing the cable from Highway 50, pulling it over into the maintenance shed pavilion area and connecting it to the network switch. From there, we'll connect two APs to deliver that Wi-Fi connection. Additionally, we're installing a four-lens camera that will look at all four directions of the area. Additionally, we're installing a one-lens camera down the pathway from the pavilion towards the dog park. So that provides our visitor safety, our infrastructure safety, and gives us the most high-density, high-impact area. Again, we are building the infrastructure for that future enhancement. So go ahead and move to the next slide. Silver Lake. The original scope on this was to pull broadband across the park, all the shelters, everything. The problem with that scope was we had no internet. We could plug in all day long, but we couldn't deliver it. We still needed to provide Wi-Fi access. So we had to look at this scope. This is our most complex scope that we have. It involves a lot of vendors. It involves a lot of just tasks that needs to be done and requires a lot of coordination. So let's go ahead and move to the next slide. Here you see that our original scope was to upgrade our APE and our switch and pull fiber. Instead, what we're doing is that we're pulling fiber down the Ice House Trail, which is where a lot of the scope complexity comes from. It requires a DNR application. It requires county board approval. And then that's just to even get the design plans done and approved. We then have to start the build and the testing. So with that, we're pulling fiber from down the Ice House Trail into the beach house, into a new data switch. Let's go ahead and move to the next slide, of which we're trying to cover these main areas. These are all cameras where they're going to cover the beach area, the parking lot, and at the beach house, and then the fee booth, and down the road from the fee booth. Go ahead, Joe. Here's an example of our extensive fiber pull that's going to have to happen. We have a vendor ready to go to start the design phase of this. But the orange line throughout is where we are connecting the broadband fiber to the data switches. So as you can see, there's a data switch at the beach house, the fee booth, and at the front entrance. The complexity is that we have to add power to both the fee booth and to the park's front entrance. One of the things that we found important was to make sure that we had eyes on the beach area and the parking lot. Here you can see we have four APs at the beach house. So from my discussions with some park staff, there were times that we were at capacity, and that's a huge strain on our network switches. So we wanted to be able to provide as much capability for both the vendors and the visitors. So we're looking to install four APs at the beach house alone to handle that huge strain, as well as four cameras, three overlooking the beach area. I believe each one of those are two-lens cameras. So when you've got three, there's actually six. That will help pan out and see wider. Is that an accurate statement? With that, we've also got a camera overlooking the parking lot area. From there, we're pulling fiber down from the beach house over to the fee booth. Complexity is that we have to add power. We currently have solar power, but there is a need to amp up that ability to have power, consistent power. You know, we can say, you know, solar will do it, but the reality is if there's snow that gets on it, if it's dirty, we could have a lack of reliability of our power source, which affects our cameras, which affects our Wi-Fi antennas. So we wanted to be able to provide a consistent source of power. With that, you have two cameras, external cameras, and one internal camera, plus the Wi-Fi as well. And actually, I don't think there's Wi-Fi. I think it's internet connection, would that be correct? So fiber, Ethernet cable into a source. So from there, go ahead, Joe. So from the fee booth data switch, we're moving down to the park front entrance. complexity here is that we have to pull power across the street. I believe it's Highway J that we're going to have to ask We Energies to pull power from their transformer there into a substation across the across to the front entrance. We'll install a pole here and a data network switch, a NIM enclosure, which is just to protect all of the cables and so forth. Here we're doing an LPR and a context camera. This is going to cover our exit. The reason we chose exit is because in the state of Wisconsin, we're required to have rear license plates. So we followed that best practice and said, okay, our LPRs are going to point to the back of the car. Our context camera is going to cover that front entrance. So we wanted to be able to say what's the most bang for our buck. We felt like the exit was the best bang for our buck. We will have the capabilities for future enhancement to pull cable to our shelters from here and also be able to add an additional camera if we choose to do that. We'll have to pull that. Once we get that power across the street, then we'll set that power up for being able to handle the network connection, that the data switch. Go ahead, Joe. Again, I've kind of talked about this. I called it scope dependencies. Again, there's a lot of complexity with this particular project, specifically getting those design documentations, getting the vendors hired, getting those things in place, and the 4 to 6 month process it's going to take to get that application ready to go to be submitted and approved. Once we get that DNR approval, then we move it over to the county board to have that easement approved. Is that a correct wording, Scott, that it's an easement approval? From there, we have to get our private utilities marked, identified and documented so that we're not hitting anything we shouldn't be hitting, as well as making sure that we have the resources available, coordinating our resources from the vendors down to IT staff to our park staff to let us in. There's just a lot of moving parts with this project, and we want to get it done in the lowest impact time possible. So our last site is Veterans Memorial Park. Nothing's really changed here other than we are pulling some cabling, some Cat 6 from our maintenance shed down to the front entrance to provide also a LPR and a context camera at the front entrance. This does require some boring and some pulling of fiber. Go ahead, Joe. So here you can see we're going to add the wireless AP access point, which is the yellow triangle again. And then we're also going to add a context camera on the maintenance shed overlooking the fuel pump. And then, of course, in the lower right-hand corner, you see the blue and the green. That is our LPR and our context to cover the front entrance. Again, that's at the exit, pointing towards the exit. So the pain point here is what you originally gave us. We appreciate that. What we're to do everything that we're looking to do right now, we need an additional $50,000. A lot of this is hardware cost and our vendor labor cost. Just to pull that fiber alone from point A to D all the way down to the front entrance is a huge lift, and that cost is reflected. With that, we felt like if we're installing these, the ability to expand our visitors' capabilities as well as our vendors, we need to have some avenue of protecting that. And that's where the cameras come into play. We really feel strongly that, with the current level of vandalism that's happening, being able to protect us and our equipment at some level is a high priority. So while we are asking for additional hardware, we're building that foundation to also enhance and improve in a future manner. Any questions?
I'm going to put you on the microphone. Go right ahead.
Is the additional question, or is the additional amount that you've requested, I understand the importance of it, but would that be for all projects or just for one specific project?
Thank you for that question. It's for all projects. So this is a total cost. I've laid out each where each money is going to what project and to what category of that project. But this is a total cost. We were originally allocated $378,000, and our current scope is sitting at $429,000.
Marty McGinley, Wheatland School District. So if that wasn't approved, what area would you cut?
I'm going to lean that over to Matt and Shelley to answer that question.
So how I see this increase, I understand what you're saying as far as where we can make cuts. Being that we found out after the fact that the hardware can be included for security cameras, that's what our ultimate goal has been more on the park side, is protecting our physical assets wherever possible. So that has to be the determination between Old Settlers, Silver Lake, Kemper Center, and even Veterans Memorial Park, where we would be able to have that inherent risk increased if we do not have the hardware and the security cameras. That's based on probably population and park usage in more of a practical term. So out of all those, Veterans Memorial Park being the newest is probably the least popular or attended as now, but we've seen an escalation in growing number of park patrons. And that's where we've really spent multiple millions of dollars at the same time. But from a park usage standpoint, it sees the least amount of traffic. So if I had to make a cut, it would be there, but there's also an inherent risk that with all of our new infrastructure, Honor Plaza, restroom facility, that would make me uncomfortable to have that where we don't have, especially the license plate recognition on the entranceway within that park. So hopefully that helps.
And so you said there's multiple moving parts here. Is that in reality, this committee would consider making a recommendation to both the county executive and the county board, because we would be recommending to the county executive to use those additional discretionary ARPA dollars towards the hardware, but then we'd also need to recommend to the county board that they consider and approve the various easements and whatnot that you and Scott talked about?
Correct. So much better, well put than I could have said it. So we are asking for an additional $50,000 in ARPA funds to complete the project in its current scope. That is our recommendation. We are at in what we feel is our minimum scope. Outside of the vendors memorial or the Veterans Memorial Park. In addition to the easement approval, that will not come until we get the DNR approval. So we'll want that first before we can come to the county board. So yes, we would need that recommended to the county board.
I know that I believe Patty is at a conference this week, so she's unavailable, Patty Merrill, is that, I know these funds are available in that discretionary ARPA money. So, I mean, the funds are there. The question in the back of my mind was, are there any other projects that the county is considering that were ARPA eligible that it would possibly impact those not going forward? And I don't know if you would know that, Jeanine, or not.
I do not. I'm going to turn that over to Ben.
There we go. So yeah, I did provide these numbers over to Patty about a week and a half ago, and she is looking into other projects that the county exec is looking at to make sure that we're obviously staying within the confines of the total amount. So that would be something Patty would probably be able to answer better than I could.
I know the funds are available. My just thought was that if somebody else was going to be recommending a project and then there weren't those funds available, you know, was it going to limit anything that was of equal value? That was my only thought.
Thank you. I'm going to kind of stay on that path with monetary resources a little bit. This is for this committee, I'll call it a finite tranche of money that was described to us, roughly $800,000 of ARPA funds. And yes, this would be pulling from additional amounts of ARPA. It's only $50,000. Sounds bad, doesn't it? It's only $50,000. But my question, Matt, is directed at you because this is of benefit to parks. Is there a co-participation anywhere in this project from your parks budget, or are you relying 100% on this committee's ARPA budget for it? And I'll expound a little bit further, because there's energy in the county for additional beer gardens, things like that. In other words, you're going to pick up vendor access points or opportunities that become very interesting. So is there a co-participation from your budget in this, or 100% here?
Within the 2024 budget, there was no participation through IT requests for this coming year. So everything would be reliant on ARPA funds for what's in front of you.
Okay. And then is there, since I mentioned beer gardens or other vendor-based activities, is there an ability, I would think it'd have to be approved through committee, but an ability to recoup some investment by fees, funds, et cetera, that they would contribute toward?
In a roundabout way, yes, that does happen through, for your example, the beer garden. They give a certain shared revenue that goes back to the Parks Department for parkland development purposes. So when you're looking at the whole county as a whole, if we're able to open up avenues to allow for additional vendors to provide services where we're able to gain a certain net revenue or gross shared revenue off of those proceeds, we're able to take those monetary gains because of our ability to have the foundation of that footprint through the pavilion, access point, internet to entice these businesses to want to partner with the parks. And the more success they have based on our ability to have those fundamental and necessary things for them to operate a business will come back to the county to offset bonding in the future. So we will not have to bond for future parkland development purposes such as Veterans Memorial Park, parkway expansion projects or buildings. So in a roundabout way, even though it's not a direct linear to offset maybe the broadband, it will help out the county in the future by allowing more business-friendly environments for our revenue to be offset with bonding in the future.
Which kind of plays into the question or the formation of the question, co-participation from the parkland budget. I'm not adverse to the $50,000. I quite honestly, like I said, it's a small amount in the overall scheme of things with a significant benefit, short and long-term benefit to the parks usage, safety. Events have happened where safety is becoming much, much more important for us to provide and protect. But as Shelley knows, I'm not a great proponent of $3.5 million dumped into Pike River 3, et cetera. So I would have liked to have seen some offsetting opportunities or co-participation opportunities. But that said, I think this is a wise structural element and well thought out plan. I was going to say scheme plan to execute this. So I appreciate the work that goes into it, and I'm supportive of the need. So thank you.
My question is, when is the deadline that these ARPA funds need to be spent or committed by? I have two questions. That's part one.
I had the same question. I think in my notes that they have to be designated by the end of 2024. So that had been one of my questions to the county executive was if she had other projects that she was anticipating, because if she doesn't, then this would be even a more excellent place to put those dollars because they do have a sunset.
And I thought I recalled also that there was a fear whether or not, I don't know how big that is, of those funds possibly being clawed back if they're not designated or spent.
Yeah, we addressed that in committee meeting, finance committee, and a couple other places in the last few months. But I believe Patty's last statement was, we're not going to lose these funds. We're in a good position at the moment.
So designated by 2024 or this 2023 and then spent at the end of 2024?
My understanding from at least on the town level, we just had to, as Supervisor Bashaw said, substantially commit them. We either had to have contracts committed or a town board vote saying that we're, you know, this is what we're going to use those funds for, like an ambulance or whatever. So you didn't have to have the project completed is what I'm trying to say.
And then just a second question looking ahead. I also agree that this $50,000 is a good use. We're already on the road with this project. If no other projects are identified, the areas that we've had to omit or that are slated to be omitted because of budget, would this be a use of the funds? Do we have a list of money of what would be needed to enhance this to make it to what it was initially?
Yes, we have all of that drafted out as part of the first scope round. And because of the level of cost in the first round, we looked at it and said, okay, what can we scale back to try to meet our budgetary requirements? And so, yes, we do have that all drafted out to accommodate that.
Thank you.
And from the standpoint of approval is obviously committee recommendation go back to county executive and she goes through whatever process her office has for the funding to get on the county board agenda for these easements and whatnot. I'm assuming that might take till end of December or even into January to.
It takes referral from the board to committee and then back to the board for a vote. So it's a minimum 2 month cycle.
But so I guess I'm wondering is that are any of these vendors getting antsy? Where are we from a time frame standpoint?
I'm so glad you asked that question. Antsiness is an understatement. They want to commit their resources. They want to get going. One of the big things that I actually would really like to walk away from this committee is to be able to say that I can move forward, one, with the DNR application. So getting that vendor on board, getting that statement of work approved and signed off on. But also I'd like to go ahead and start moving forward with Old Settlers, Kemper Center, and Veterans Memorial Park. Silver Lake is huge. It's a monster. It's a beast. And it's just going to take some more planning and make sure that we're all on the same page. So our biggest thing for Silver Lake is getting going on that design documentation that we need to do as soon as possible. Because that, again, is a 4 to 6 month process. So that puts us into June already. So we can't do anything while the park is busy, but that will allow us some leeway in order to start planning for resources and be ready to go as soon as Labor Day holiday is over with.
Could I grab that? It would be my, and you guys can clarify and add to or whatever, fix it, but it would be my understanding that this committee or commission has given a recommendation to the executive to move these projects, it's within her purview then to allocate that resource toward the projects, which she has done. Thus, it's now within county projects. It should be Shelley or whomever is giving oversight to it to make those decisions, should it not? Is this committee is not empowered to manage or go further than that, is my understanding. Is that accurate?
I want to, you know, we don't, we are advisory only, and that I think specifically that we've been charged not to try to overstep into the county board's authority area.
Yeah.
So I guess the question would be whether or not for Matt or you for executing contracts and whatnot is to know which contract you need or you're authorized to do. I think it's just a general recommendation that we're in support or against the additional funds is all that.
Yeah, right. That would be my understanding.
Yeah, I didn't want to move forward without having budgetary acceptance of you know, scope, and we could have scaled back on the Veterans Memorial Park. Instead of starting that project, we've decided we want to scale back because of cost. So I didn't want to start signing, you know, vendor statement of works until we knew that we had all of our pieces in a row. So
my mother-in-law always spent money before anybody else knew it. So,
you know, I feel like asking permission is better than forgiveness in this part.
Can I ask a follow-on question? Margaret was going down the path, and ultimately, I'd like to know what the delta is between the full project and the scaled back project.
The delta between the two is $480,000 to the current $429,000, so about a $70,000 savings.
And we're going to put in an additional $50,000. We would have been doing an additional $70,000, or did I just buck 20?
Just over $100,000.
$100,000 difference. Okay. Thank you. We need a motion.
Where was that scaled back portion? Where did that happen again?
Old Settlers, as well as Kemper on the west side. In addition to, we've also been able to manage finding some improved hardware for a much reduced cost that works better than the previous version that we were utilizing. It was a significant savings, and I really lean that over to Angie if she wants to expound on that. But yeah, between those two areas, and then also not pulling fiber throughout the park in Silver Lake was also a significant savings as well.
I guess my only question is, it seems like in all other parts of the project, when it's done very well, and you guys, you know, gave us a really good overview of that, the Veterans Memorial Park seems like the only place you're not actually expanding access.
We're expanding Wi-Fi access mainly for our employees. I believe, and Matt, I actually want to turn this over to you as to what your thoughts were with that.
So the benefit of Veterans Memorial Park, it was undergoing a lot of development with a multi-phase approach over the last 5 years or so. Recently, on the western side with the Honor Plaza, restroom area, Army shelter, the last 2 years has seen a significant growth of development, and we're able to work more in parallel paths with our civil and architectural building envelope to institutionalize a lot of the broadband fiber security cameras within the project scopes. We worked in tandem with IT previous to this committee to have a lot of those things already implemented. So the restroom facility, for instance, already has security cameras on it. We were able to pull fiber along with Alliant Energy to get a better price point with construction of doing an open trench with those two. So anytime that we can do those things in the future with our park development, we've been trying to expand the footprint of broadband if we can, especially with those substantial improvements. So what you see in front of you is icing on the cake, I'll call wallet, that we already had those things, but now we're able to do a broader reach of the security cameras in our shop area in order to protect the entranceway, especially on the Honor Plaza side. So it doesn't seem like a lot. It's because we already did a lot of that on the front end.
Addition to, Matt actually wants to utilize that location as a disaster recovery or a what was the word you used the other day?
I would say it's an alternate site that if the county center had to be shut down or we had to put staff in other areas, we do have a significant maintenance shop within Veterans Memorial Park. So we were able to increase Wi-Fi coverage for remote staff to be able to work offsite from even the county center.
Thank you.
Does anyone else have any questions, comments? If not, we're open to a motion.
I make a motion that we make the recommendation to the executive to increase the budget allocation by $50,000 to meet the requirements of the modified scope of the project and to allow it to get started.
Just for clarification on the motion, on the information that that Ben had provided me a couple of weeks ago, the actual difference was $51,225, and those numbers may have changed a little bit. I just want to make sure that we've allocated enough. So if we were to have the motion to say, you know, up to $52,000 or something like that.
Up to 52 or up to 55, because there's always flex in it, so.
Up to 55.
Double nickels? Okay. Up to $55,000.
Just a housekeeping matter. I think we need a second from somebody in the room here. Sorry, Susan.
I'll second that.
Second by Margaret. Thank you.
Okay. We have a motion and a second to make a recommendation to the county executive increase the funding for the project area by up to $55,000. Is there any further discussion on the motion? For clarification, Supervisor Bashaw, would we be anticipating making a second motion on to the county board, or are you just looking at just this portion?
I'm not sure that we specifically need to make a motion to the county board. We're approving or we're recommending that the executive move forward with the project and the additional cost of the project. Then within the scope of the project, I would think that Shelley's department would be making appropriate motions to the board.
Thank you for the clarification. So that we have that with the one motion on the floor. Is there any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Thank you very much. Then we will move on to item number six here. So the way that we had noticed this meeting is that we noticed it through 11:30 if people had time. If your schedule doesn't allow that, feel free to leave if your schedule requires, but we will continue here. Discussion was identifying and prioritizing projects and areas of focus with regards to broadband needs within Kenosha County. This was on here is that as we, as Supervisor Bashaw and Joe and I had talked about next meetings and whatnot, is that the early part of this committee has been one looking at projects that staff has identified and brought forward, and then the other one was kind of we're searching and trying to identify what were some of the things the glaring needs and how might we bring players in to help that. And we discussed that's part of the visioning that we have to do, but it's unfortunately it's too broad. It doesn't get us to an action point. And part of this, because those funds have a sunset on them, we do need to do some focusing. So that we as a group had suggested that if any of you have very specific needs or identify something like that, let's put those on the table. And then the other part of it is that part of this discussion is that that the county executive and UW Extension has offered us the resource of Savannah Myers to us as helping us find areas of information, resource partners, possible grants, all those type of things. And she's been attending some workshops and identifying some of those. And she had made a really good point in a communication to me, is that to help her do her job, it would be valuable for her to know what does Kenosha County and what does this committee really want out of this. That's a very good ask, in my opinion, is she needs some direction from us to know where to focus her resources and her time. So I'd open up to the floor of anybody that wanted to put forward a project that they specifically have. The one area that has been talked about is that Kenosha County on the early PSC maps had dark holes that were identified by the PSC maps, and through a number of projects and increased fiber expansion by the city of Kenosha, by Spectrum, by Midwest Fiber, those dark holes have shrunk quite a bit. But we now have one area in Kenosha County, which encompasses the majority of Brighton Township, as that black hole, and is that an area where we want to focus? So I'd open it up to anybody that wanted to speak to that.
Yes. We need broadband in Brighton. We have nothing. And Sue will echo that. And Brian will do the same thing.
Was to please get broadband in Brighton, because many of the homes depend on that for their work and also to do commerce. Brighton is a rural and largely agricultural, and you might think, well, they don't need it, but perhaps they need it even more because the success of their business could be dependent on it. So we dearly need it in Brighton. And I couldn't call into the meeting today because they kept kicking me off. So we need it here in Brighton. I ask that all of you consider it, please.
From the we've been talking primarily about commercial and residential use, and we have the representatives here from education. Are there any areas that you're getting feedback from your families that there's anything that we should be looking at?
I think just south of Brighton in Wheatland, in what would encompass our school district. The hills back there, and I don't know what roads those would be, but basically adjoining where Brighton School District is, that's where we always had problems with any kind of connection. We've even thought of, you know, possible ways of, you know, shooting a point from the area down by the river. If we could find funding from the federal government for that we would maybe even look into that, but it didn't make a lot of sense at the time. It was a couple of years ago. So there is definitely a need in that area, just south of Bong kind of area.
Sam, do you want to speak to a little bit of the workshop that you attended and what possible resources that the committee might be able to look to you for leadership on?
Yeah, absolutely. So at the end of October, I actually went all the way up to Rylander. So first time up there was very exciting. And I attended a broadband planning workshop. So it was actually ran by Gail, who came in, I think back in June here to come talk to you all about some of those extension resources. And they've expanded a lot of what currently broadband is doing with UW Extension. We've actually hired a few new specialists as well. So they really kind of taught us about some of those basics. And I know a lot of you kind of got to go through those basics already with them. But I also got introduced to a lot of different places to look for grant funding, some different resources. So when we're talking to ISPs or things like that, too, I actually gave John today a like kind of guide where if we're talking to them, we can kind of sit through and talk to them with those things, different letters that we can send out to them to show our interest or if they would like to come talk or just what they can do for the community as well. And I also have access to, we have a broadband toolkit now, which is on our website too, and it goes into a bunch of different kind of pockets of places you can go with broadband. So that's why I thought kind of going into more depth of what you all are looking for, kind of what the timeline is, I thought could be really, really helpful because I have a lot of really awesome resources that I haven't had a chance to truly dive into just because I want to really take the time to dedicate to do what we think Kenosha County needs the most. So I'm here with open ears. My email is also open at any point. I'm on all of the emails that Joe sends out. So if you think of something too after today, please feel free to email me and I can look to see what resources we have.
Thank you. So I'll share where my thinking is. We all saw the maps, and I appreciate a lot of the black holes are being reduced as funding resources are identified or as providers have addressed them. Paris has taken a collateral approach and became a major funder in helping to roll out broadband in the Paris community, which is going to be very impressive and effective. But we still then have, I'll call it the northwest corner of the county, which is primarily Brighton and a little bit over into Wheaton and a couple of collateral areas. So in my mind, there's a need for a multi-pronged or a dual access approach to this that takes on a couple of different legs. With broadband, a lot of resources were put into the last mile initiative, you know, so get the broadband pulled to that desolate area. I'm not sure that we have a last mile initiative because the lines are all the way around this geographic area. But if I were a provider, I would look at it and say, I can run it past all these houses, but the poles are so long. Who's going to pay for connect and can we cover all those connects? And so I sat down with the county maps and I started drawing lines down JB and a few of the other roads to look at the distance from the roadway to the house. And a lot of them are 180, 200, 250, 300, 400 foot. Somebody's got to fund that. So in my mind, thinking from that last mile approach, is there a strategy whereby, as we have a limited tranche of money left to utilize, create an incentive that says if you make that last 100 foot, we would bridge through a grant program to extend the rest of the way on some of these homes. In other words, it becomes productive for a provider to pull the line past the front door because the incidence of connection may be increased because there's an incentive, an opportunity for more people to participate. The other aspect of that is Brighton has a big hole right in the middle of it. It's called Bong Recreation Area. So to address Brighton, you have to address it from other sides, not right down the middle, not north south. It has to come from the laterals into it. So it's really multiple providers then that we're touching. It's not just Spectrum or just Midwest. It may be others coming down from Burlington or other things like that. So in my mind, creating that carrot and a stick, we want to create a carrot that says, if you guys show up, we have a strategy to help you make more connections to the homes. Additional, the second layer then is what state funding could be available, thinking along that last mile or last foot approach to try and get them to help build more incentive for providers to get out to this area of the county that has been worse than neglected. It's been overlooked, in my opinion. So Sue trying to connect. I do have a office at home, and that's where I try to do. I can't do a video conference call. I can not host a web call. It's a ridiculous void in a major part of the county where trying to think of a nice way to say it, there are some very wealthy residents, some very large homes, people with businesses, et cetera, that have zero support in our community. So to me, it's the area of Kenosha County that is most desolate at the moment. It is also an area that, you know, tax burden, if we were to focus on a project similar to Paris or City of Kenosha, is simply not sustainable. So help is necessary. And then, like I said, to me, create a carrot more than a pay-as-you-go. We don't want to simply throw more money at that we don't have and find that we can connect another 50 or 100 homes, but we really can't make a broader impact. So that's my thought.
I really like that too, because then the infrastructure is in place for future funding or for additional movement towards getting it from, you know, from the road to the home. I think that's a, I don't know how that would be structured exactly and what the, you know, what that funding vehicle would look like, or application process, but I do think that's a really good idea.
One of the ways that Paris got to where it is that for probably a decade, we were asking providers, you know, will you come to our community? That was the question. Will you come and why won't you come? And it wasn't until we started sitting down with these companies and engaging them almost as a partner and getting past the we want and it's how do we do this and how do you as a company monetize this, is that it was then that we started to understand why they weren't coming. They knew they would be welcome, but they weren't going to make any money. And once we understood that, then that allowed us to create a model. And obviously Paris had resources that most communities don't, but it wasn't until we really understood and worked with, and we ended up having a chance to work with two very, very good companies. eVirgin was our first, a partner, and then Midwest Fiber. So, the idea of maybe creating this would be a perfect focus group would be the identify Brighton as an area of focus. And then let any members here that think that they can either help or interest or have a personal stake in it, sit on that focus group. And because one of the things that moved Paris forward was when we got a core group of about two or three citizens who really jumped in and kept pushing, and it became a case of let's go out and get this, let's go out and create this rather than sit back and wait for somebody to hand it to me. And I know that's not what Brighton is asking, but it's the strongest model that we came up with.
No, I fully support that. And the way I've generally looked at things, you have someone establishes a business and they're fully vested. And it basically, this requires a mentor, somebody that's fully vested to say, we want to press forward with it and we want to be aggressive with it. So I think we have a number of people that are certainly impacted by it.
Yes.
So I agree with the statement. I'm not volunteering.
Well, this committee is looking at the community as a whole, but some of these projects are going to be so individualistic that somebody might on the committee might say it's not good use of my time. And because this would be somewhat Wheatland Brighton centric, is that maybe it'd be useful to offer to have a committee of the whole of this committee and Brighton residents and see if we can identify contact person or a cheerleader, a focus point person there. This committee could share with what it could bring to the table. Savannah, if her schedule allowed, could attend that and share with what she has, and that may be a way to start moving it forward. But with a sunset on these funds, we need to do that by January. We should have that meeting set up.
Yeah, I would think we can certainly manage that. And Sue, I would think you'd advocate and help to coordinate and collaborate on that as well. It all stems back to when you look, I'm sorry,
you could get some of the people that maybe had concerns that they didn't have internet and try to get a group diverse for needs and put it together, including our Brighton school.
Correct. Okay, so we'll coordinate and work toward that, and then you said yes. Well, Margaret is an expert, so maybe she'll help us.
Well, yeah, I'd be happy to help. What I was going to say is if it's going to span multiple, we've got, if the total funds were 800,000 and we've just designated, you know, a little over half of that towards the Kenosha County Parks project, what's left is not going to be sufficient to fund an entire project, but either setting up, like Supervisor Bashaw said, a last mile to help the residents at the end. But a suggestion, what Racine did with the ARPA grant that we worked on for Paris was to put together an RFP and ask that the internet providers go ahead and respond to that, because this is covering multiple areas. So to have somebody representing Wheatland as well as somebody representing Brighton and put together what the needs are of the community and then put that out to the ISPs in the form of an RFP and have them respond to that. And if that can also be done in tandem with possibly the Wisconsin PSC, the grant program right now, they just closed. There's another grant session February, I believe, that closes. But with the Wisconsin PSC website, the broadband initiative has a number of funds. There's no guarantee, but at least the infrastructure will be there as to what is needed, because down the line, there is some BEAD funding also coming to here. So that would be possible to lay in the groundwork if the Wisconsin PSC did not approve a grant for that project. Perhaps that would be ready for the BEAD money then to go ahead and start rolling.
If we can get a basic plan for infrastructure, that's really what we need to get started here. I've been doing IT for 25 years from Brighton, and you can imagine how hard it is. It's very hard to get any kind of connectivity anywhere, and going through Avergent, a line of sight is very difficult. It's a hilly area, a lot of trees. We like to keep the rural structure as much as possible. We don't want to remove trees just to get internet access. So that's one of our problems.
I don't think fixed wireless is going to solve the problem. It's going to need to be broadband. Yeah.
Brian, one of your points is it's always been out there, obvious, but you articulated it, is that because of Bong, Brighton has trouble looking at a community-wide scope, because you've got this dead spot within the dead spot. Bong does not particularly need internet, or you know, they aren't going to be a customer. So your comment that the access is going to come in from outside, you know, in fingers rather than a community-wide type of thing, is that I think this meeting would be a really good idea. Is that Union Grove is actively engaging ISPs to enhance the villages there, and because Union Grove Yorkville, you know, is an adjoining community to Brighton, we should probably invite Union Grove representatives. Are there any joint, you know, mutually beneficial things there? And so that your idea of let's look at their surrounding communities, because that's probably where the internet is going to get fed from. That's a real good idea.
I fully agree with that. Bong, what is the number, Sue? It's one third of the community. As far as just geographic area, it's roughly 5,000 acres. It's a massive footprint right in the middle of the community. So saying we're going to pull across Bong, not going to happen. Pulling off of the north side and then getting to the south is just a cost center that is excessive. So collaborating with, call them blocks or segments of the community where you can look at it from individual areas, collaborating to the north with Union Grove, collaborating to the south, and then certainly probably two prongs to the west. So.
We have two large bodies that are beautiful, but they present some problems with this, perhaps.
Sue, have you ever engaged the county parks system to say if there was better internet at Brightondale and the surrounding parks, or have you communicated with Wisconsin on Bong? I'm just wondering if they were, is there any way to have them become, I mean, not the lead financiers, but part of the solution, if they saw there was a benefit to them?
Be able to speak to someone probably in Madison, not someone who's stationed at Bong. And if that meeting were to take place, I would like someone from the county to be able to explain everything. But I'm very positive in having that meeting.
I'm meeting with Representative Nedweski on Friday. I will ask her whether she might be able to recommend a contact from Wisconsin on Bong to attend such a meeting. I'll do that on Friday. And Matt has had to step out, and Shelley stepped out. So, from a county standpoint, I would probably engage, ask Matt to be involved in that meeting if his schedule allowed, to let us know if there's anything that the staff has considered for Brightondale that would better internet would help. I don't know if people use internet when they're golfing or not.
Does Brightondale even have internet?
Believe that they ran Midwest Fiber ran fiber out to Brightondale, but I don't know how what the bandwidth is that they ran.
Angie could fill us in on that.
So Brightondale Golf does have, they're part of Midwest Fiber. They're part of our fiber ring for Kenosha County. So they are out there. There's a presence.
So if I interjected, I think we've discussed it enough. This is kicked over to formulating a committee within Brighton to evaluate what the needs are, come back with, I'll call it a recommendation to this commission to then evaluate further with a potential end, and I'll say potential because nothing's written in stone, but to explore a grant funding strategy as well as doing a needs assessment and identification of with Savannah strategic grant funds that might be available as well, but come back with a recommendation.
I feel like I have to speak or forever hold my peace, but Bristol does have some spots that does not have Wi-Fi capabilities. So I just feel like we're focusing on one spot in Kenosha County, and there are other spots, and I'm sure Salem Lakes and Randall, and there's other places also. So I just
That was going to be the next part of the discussion, Randy, is specifically that we talked about this at an earlier meeting, is that if I'm not sure how to engage each area's citizens, but when talking with service providers, they claim they don't know where these dark spots are, and that if we as communities can identify those. So is there a way that each community can come forward with let us know specifically down 128th, we've got 15 houses. Can you do that for us?
I think I've already sent that information probably 6 months ago, but I can find that and resend it.
I'll look at my records as well on that. But yeah, okay. But yeah, this wasn't meant to be totally focused on Brighton. It was just Midwest Fiber has told me is that they oftentimes didn't look, they were focusing going from one residential node to the next and didn't look at, and I don't know why you wouldn't do this, but they didn't bother to look at who they could pick up if they went another half mile a type thing. And so they're telling us if we identify them, they'll be able to analyze it, and they might very well be willing to go and do that on their own without any public funding at all.
If I interject a little bit, on the broader map, Brighton is the black hole, and there are still many black holes throughout the county, even over by the lake. It's impressive where some of them lie. So as John was saying, sometimes it's just a connection issue. The reason I'm circling back to it is I talked to Joe a little bit earlier because I'm going to start knocking doors. So I asked for the speed test information to keep people focused on identification of where those needs are, et cetera. What I've laid out is just an opportunity to say, here's a strategic area that we could potentially bring some import and value to, but it certainly doesn't discount the needs throughout the rest of our county. Everybody has to be connected at this point. Otherwise, you know, I tried to watch a movie the other night. I can't watch a movie. So if people want to do their lives, as I tell people, you go to make something, you get on your iPad or your iPhone, you look up your recipe. We don't focus on retained knowledge. We focus on accessible knowledge now. So we all must be connected, and we have to make sure that everybody has uniform opportunities wherever possible. I believe that is one of the aspects of the tasking through the state with broadband as well, to make sure that we have accessibility for all. And I think Mr. Ulicki said it well. Large corporate centers, they show up. You'll get the power that you need. You'll have access and everything and then some, because there's potential and there's opportunity. And that's what John was saying, when they start looking at how many connections can we get. So we could do a countywide grant program to help with those connections to do something, but I'm just proposing an opportunity, something to look at, and we'll see where we go with it. So thank you.
But Annie, your point is, well, thing is that that looking at how to use these monies that are available is that Paris didn't really start moving forward until we paid for the engineering. A lot of these companies were saying, we don't think there's enough customers out there. We don't know how many customers you might have. They wouldn't do anything because they just didn't think the business was going to be there. And so we finally authorized with the we paid for the a company to come in and fully engineer, if without even a company in mind, is that, you know, we paid for the engineering, and it was expensive to engineer to the house for the entire town. Almost $200,000, for the full engineering for the entire town. So one of my thoughts is that, if we had, now that was for the entire town, if we had certain areas in Bristol that aren't, and using Bristol as an example, that aren't covered, is could we, this committee suggests that the county exec pays to have those runs engineered, and then they could be, you know, put out as an RFP to, you know, to any company that wants to bid on it, type thing, and that might get the project started. Does anyone else have any comments? Mike, please.
Well, just a further question on that. Do we have any idea what the actual censuses of residential needs from the internet standpoint? Is there a number that anybody has? How many people are lacking the service, roughly?
Do you mean in the whole county or in Brighton?
Pieces, sure, Brighton.
I'm sure that it's every resident in Brighton. I don't know any resident that has any broadband. Do you, Brian?
I would say it this way. From the data sets, they did heat maps, concentration areas, and things like that as the outputs, but they didn't necessarily have a lot of rich data points to look at. So I believe we can get it because it's very rich data that they have available, although some of it was a little outdated. I mean,
just from a high, is that we talking 1,000? We talking 5,000? You know, a big...
So unless we have a really big housing boom, we're not going to get to 5,000. We have, and further, we have about between 800 and 900 residences or farm residences, whatever. Yep.
Okay, thank you. That helps.
But you're right, Mike, is that the availability of internet was not one of the questions from the U.S. Census. That was not one of the questions. So it isn't available through the Census Bureau, where I think, Margaret, where you've gotten most of your information is off of the PSC maps, which are mostly estimates as opposed to factual. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. The PSC has maps available, knowing that those maps are not accurate, but they do want the data, at least in previous grants, done by census block. So you can submit by census block what areas need the broadband, even if it conflicts with what the PSC map has.
Does anyone else have anything they wanted to bring forward? Or Mike, did you have follow up at all?
I'm just trying to get a scope. It all comes down to how you motivate the providers to want to do something for you. And it's just interestingly, I was talking to one of my developers who lives just south of here. There's a development just south of this complex, and he had the local cable provider. He switched over to Verizon, the cellular service, for $35 a month, and he's more than happy about it. So, some of it might be how to motivate different players. There's another one I have that he lives just west of here, and he actually has Starlink, which is the, it's not cheap. The startup costs are $500-$600, and it's maybe $120 a month, but he's getting 120, 130 down, and there was no other available options there. So, part of it might be, there's other creative ways to do this, and those are just exploding in availability. So
that's a really good point, Mike, is that we've talked about this on our town level, is that now that people start to have options, they don't really know even how to evaluate them and what they need. And so now we're almost looking at creating on our website links to all kinds of stuff for helping people evaluate it. An education portion of it and a motivation portion of it is probably just as important as the financial side of it.
Now on the downside, I was peeking at the AT&T maps and the Verizon maps, and the coverage isn't great as you go west of here. So, but it'll get better. I mean, it's just, they focused on high density areas first, and the 5G rollouts are starting to permeate more lower density areas. So it's just, it's a matter of time. That's almost a race between that and fiber right now.
The ironic part about the 5G initiative is they also base that on population. And so that I happen to have a cell tower on one of my farms in Paris, and they were upgrading the radios here 2 years ago, and I asked them, are you going to upgrade to 5G as part of this? And the young guys, a team from out of Texas, and they just laughed. They said, because this is a rural cell tower, we're putting in, it's new equipment, but it's 20-year-old technology that we're putting in. It'll be a long time before you get 5G. So ironically, where an area where 5G might be of real value, their economic or their business model is telling them not to put it there.
Right.
So
yeah, we won't have 5G by us. And actually, I called TDS not too long ago to see if they were going to up our bandwidth, because we basically are about three. And there's no plans, none whatsoever, nothing in the future. So they've really kind of abandoned us. We're held hostage. And even for Starlink, because of the topography of where we are, it's very hard to get an accurate bead on any satellite that comes overhead. Same thing with the Virgint. And the whole idea was to keep us rural, so we try to keep us the area as rural as possible.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, then we're coming up to 11:30 here. Is there any other information that anybody wanted to share? One of the things that we're finding valuable, and probably Joe and I will go through this file folder that Savannah gave me, and see if there's information in here that we can provide links for if any of you want to, rather than print out stuff like this, we'll just do possible links on it. But as any of you run across information, please pass it on to Joe. And I don't know if we can create a spot on the website to put those there. But that might be a way of people doing. You find something that might be relevant to the rest of the committee.
We already have a public-facing page on the county website with broadband resources, and we can certainly I'll send that out to all of you so you can all see what's there, and we can certainly add things to that.
Savannah, I was going to ask if you would make sure that Joe has your contacts so that at least for the committee to be able to reach out to Savannah. And you said that the UW resource page, if we could have a link to that as well. I mean, I know we can get it on our own, but sometimes it's easier just to find a link.
Yeah, absolutely. I was about to say, I have one on our UW Extension Kenosha page already, so I will share that with you all as well. Also on the education component, there's a thing about consumer labels for broadband on there too, so that might be something interesting to look into on the education component. But absolutely, I will send you that link when we're done with the meeting.
Can I make a real 30-second? Won't even be 30. But as Mike was talking earlier and we were getting to some numbers, it might be reasonable to assume there's roughly 2,000 residential units that need connection, just rounding off to pick a number. If there's a descending grant fund that were established and it were for $100 per household, that they could get into that grant, we're only talking $200,000. So the carrot part is far less expensive than the infrastructure part. So thank you.
Good. If we've covered the agenda here, I'd be open to a motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
In closing, is that Joe will be sending out, but we are. This was kind of a special one-off meeting date here because we needed to get together. We will be going to our planned new regular meeting date in the future here.
Yes, which is the third Thursday of the month. Seemed to be a consensus. I see some nods. Is that generally good for everybody here in the room? Yeah, I don't have a calendar in front of me. I'll take your word for it.